you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
You can open your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're still in our subject of letting faith take the wheel, letting faith drive our lives. And I want to read this verse to you again. This is one of the core verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, which is very familiar, I hope, to many of you. This is from the Amplified Bible. It says, "We walk by faith and not by sight," and the Amplified says, "living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." The way I like to say that is, we want to live our lives. Living by faith means we're living our lives as if what God has said is actually true. So we orient our lives, our choices, our attitudes, the way we look. One of the things we're going to see today is one of the things faith in God does is it completely changes your perspective on reality, okay? And so as we get into this today, I want us to grab hold of some of those things. The bottom line is, if we're following Christ, then we're not following the world. We are actually allowing the Word of God and what He has said to change the way we think. Boyd just talked about that. Change the way we think, change the way we perceive every part of life, and orient our lives to what the Word says. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the things. I thank you especially for the Holy Spirit who has come as our teacher. And Jesus, you said that He would reveal the Word of God to us, that He would lead us into the fullness of truth. And for every one of us, that's a process. That's something that goes on for our whole lives as you teach us and train us. And we're here to have our minds renewed. We are here to have our thinking changed to be like yours. So we invite that process to go on in our own hearts. And we open our spiritual ears to anything that you would have to say specifically to us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you can go over to Hebrews chapter 11. What we're going to start doing is going through, we're not going through the whole chapter, especially not today, but we're going to start at verse 1, and I do want to start working through these verses. There's so much in each one, and the point of this is because this chapter is given to us as a picture of what it looks like to walk by faith. The author of Hebrews came along and looked back at all these different people in the Old Testament and the way that faith changed their lives and the way that faith moved them. And I'm going to do this from the Passion Translation. And so I am going to have the scriptures up in case you don't have that. And I'll just say this, there are some people that are, I was trying to think of a better term than freaking out, but there probably isn't one, about the Passion Translation. And they do that every time a new translation comes out. I consider the Passion Translation to be a really good paraphrase. And the translators, the authors of the Passion Translation, used a lot from the Aramaic language, which was what was spoken in Israel at the time Jesus was there. It didn't all come from the Greek manuscripts, like a lot of the other translations do. I think it's more of a paraphrase, personally. I think if they'd have named it the Passion Paraphrase, people wouldn't have freaked out as much. But anyway, it's a good Bible. It'll give you, and a lot of the paraphrases, whether it's the New Living Translation, which is also came from the Living Bible. I didn't intend to say any of this to you. Anyway, the Living Bible was a paraphrase. The New Living is more of a translation. But at any rate, the Message Bible is a paraphrase. It means somebody went in and read the scripture and paraphrased it into modern English. Those are great. I just think they shouldn't be our only Bible. It was for me. I started out with the Living Bible in the 70s. That was, you had King James, which no one could understand by then because we don't speak old English. And you had the Living Bible. Well, I got saved reading the Living Bible, okay? It wasn't until years later, then I got an NIV, then I got an Amplified, then I got a New King James, New American Standard. They're all great translations, and it's best, I think, because they all bring out different nuances from the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic, and it's great for us to read various translations because you get reading, you know, if you can open your Bible and you know exactly where it's going to be on that page, our brains tend to just read the scriptures, and they don't impact us as much anymore. So read some different translations. And I say all of that to say this, that I'm going to do this this week and probably next week. I'm mainly going to use the Passion Translation, but I really like these verses also from the Amplified because it brings out in each case how much faith is a motivator. So many of us still have this kind of, I don't know, just passive view of faith. I have faith, you know? Now, faith is something that moves us. If it's faith, like we've been talking about, that comes from God and from His Word, if it's that faith that's birthed in your heart, you're not going to be able to just sit still and be passive and go, oh, I have my faith. No, you're going to change. You're going to move. You're going to do something. And we see that throughout these scriptures. So let's go here to, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 first, and we'll just read the whole thing first, and I'm going to back up and start picking it apart. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 from the Passion Translation, it says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This testimony of faith is what the previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen." So the Amplified Bible there brings out this fact. It says, like in Hebrews 11:1, well, actually, I'm going to save that for later. When it starts talking about the individual people, we talk about Abel, we talk about Noah, we talk about Abraham. In each case, it says they were moved by, or they were motivated by, or they were inspired by, or whatever. And so I just encourage you in that it would be a good thing for you to add to what we're doing. Okay. So let's get into this. So this scripture, you know, we've talked about this multiple times. I won't go back there in this series, but I just want you to remember this morning that when the Bible talks about hope, it means a confident expectation and anticipation of good coming from God. It is not wishing. It is not that kind of thing. And if you need more on that, go back and pick up the last several weeks of this series. We talked about it in depth. But it says that it is hope that brings what you're desiring, the desires that God has put in your heart. It is hope, it is faith that brings those things into reality. It is the foundation that's needed, it says, to acquire the things that we long for. It goes on to talk about, it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So I just ask you that question this morning. Is the faith that God births in your heart, for you, is that all the evidence that you require? Is it all the evidence that you require to prove to you that God will do what He has said? Okay, it's a good question for all of us, because if we're functioning in biblical faith, that faith becomes all the evidence that is required to know that God will do what He has said He will do, that He is who He has declared Himself to be and who He has revealed Himself to be in Jesus. So what's the alternative to that? And here are just a couple. So if you feel that God has said something to you, do you wait until circumstances start to line up with what you believe God has said to you before you really think God is going to do what he said he was going to do? Do you look for circumstantial evidence, or do you allow faith to be the evidence of things you can't see yet, things that haven't happened yet? That's how faith works. It is the evidence of things that are still unseen. So as God, one of God's promises comes into our life, but we're not living in it yet, we need to stir up faith on the inside by going back to his promise again and again and again, and allow that faith to direct what we expect in the future. Does that make sense to you? A second one, and a lot of people were just taught this growing up, is that people put out fleeces. Okay, in the Old Testament, you remember Gideon, and let's think about who Gideon was for just a moment. God used Gideon in a mighty way, but Gideon was an Old Testament saint. He didn't have 17 translations of the Bible on his iPad. Okay, he didn't even have them available in a bookstore. He didn't have the written word in front of him. He was not born again. The Holy Spirit didn't live on the inside of him, okay? We have all of that. He didn't have Jesus to look at. Gideon didn't have any of that. So when God came to him and spoke to him, he said, okay, if this is really you, I'm paraphrasing, if this is really you, God, I'm going to put this fleece, sheepskin, okay, and put it out. And I actually don't remember which order this went in, but the one day he says, if I get up in the morning and that sheepskin is soaking wet and the ground all around it is dry, I'll know this was you. Okay, that's called putting out a fleece, all right? The next day he said, okay, just one more time, okay? If now I get up and the fleece is dry, but the ground is wet, okay, then I'll know it's you. Okay, and God did it. God did it for him. But we're New Testament believers. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the written word. We have the image of Christ to look at. We have all this history. We have, again, the main thing, the Holy Spirit living in us to bear witness to what God is saying. So I've known a number of believers that do that same thing. I think God's saying this to me. So God, if you do this, then I'll know that I can trust that you're going to do the rest of this. And I've heard all kinds of things. If you cause this person, I remember one guy was doing a really expensive purchase from his business of a truck. And he said, well, if you have that person do such and such, then I'll know it's you. But he's telling me on the phone, God told me to buy this truck. Well, did God tell you or didn't he? Because whatever that circumstance is, if you keep throwing those circumstances out there, you've got to remember God's not the only one who influences circumstances. God does influence circumstances, but so does the devil. So do other people for the most part, okay? So we don't need to be led by circumstances. We don't have to do that anymore. It's a really inconsistent way to try to hear the voice of God, okay? So this scripture tells us faith is the only evidence necessary. So we have to adjust to that. And if you've been in that habit of putting out fleeces, I hope you understand what I'm saying, where you say, God, if you make this circumstance do this, or if you make this person say these words, or you have this happen, then I'll believe what you have said. A better way to approach that, first of all, you go to prayer, you ask God to confirm in your heart what he said, and then hopefully you've built some people into your life that you know they have a track record of hearing from God and making good decisions. I ask those people to pray sometimes. If I'm not sure, I want them to pray. And I don't want them to know even what I've decided. I want them to pray over this situation. And let me know, is it bear witness in your heart that we're supposed to do this? or not. And occasionally, that's certainly what we've had to do. We had to do that about buying this property. It was insane at that time to buy this property. It was just the worst time in a number of years to possibly do this. But everybody that prayed over it, and again, I don't throw that out to everybody. I pick and choose. I want people that I know have a track record, I know care about, in that case, care about us, care about this church, are somehow involved. We had our pastors pray. We had some other good friends pray. But that's how we approach it. And so, because we're all, I know those people are going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And they're going to tell me the truth. And we aren't going to just look at circumstances. Circumstances in that case, in that particular one, would have said, absolutely not. It's nuts for you to do this right now. So anyway, you get what I'm saying? So, you know, the scripture just tells us that. And then down in verse 3, it says, faith empowers us to see. And I think, you know, we've talked quite a bit about that, that faith is not blind. Faith is not just blindly following along. Faith perceives something different. Faith, tells us in other places, perceives, okay, what is going on in the spiritual realm as reality and as a greater reality than what we see here. Everything we see here, you guys know this, it's going to pass away. But this verse says, faith empowers us to see. This is interesting that this is what's brought up, that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. All right? That word universe there, it means both the physical universe, space and all that's in it, and it means the ages of time, the sequence of time. All of that came about from God's word, from God's speaking it into existence. And I love the way it puts this. He spoke in the invisible realm, gave birth to all that is seen. So one thing biblical faith will do, and I said this to you earlier, it will change your perception of reality, of possibility. Okay? When faith will see something that's absolutely impossible as not only possible, but completely logical, completely easy to accept. And we have so many examples of that in Scripture. All of those things that took place, we'll see later, Sarah conceiving a child when she was long past childbearing age. Mary conceiving a child because the angel spoke God's word to her and she accepted it and incubated it in her heart. Tons of examples from Scripture. But I love that it talks about how that invisible realm, we've got to get hold of this. We get so caught up in this place and time and stuff that we're living in that it's so easy to forget. All of this is going to pass away. Every bit of it is going to pass away. But God and His Word will never pass away. You'll never pass away either. You'll pass out of this body, but the only question then is where are you going to spend your eternity, with God or separated from God? But all, you know, nothing of God's word will pass away. That realm that we can't see with these eyes is more real than the realm that we live in. And the word of God is still, when it is, and here's the key, when what God says to you is accepted in your heart and nurtured in your heart, incubated in your heart, when you allow that to continue to grow in your heart and then acted upon as faith moves you, the Word of God is still bringing things into reality from the invisible realm. Whether that's a different job for you, or whether that's something with your family or your finances or your community or your church, whatever it might be, this is still taking place. This has not changed. Okay? And a lot of the world and a lot of Christians, they live by this principle of seeing is believing. When I see it, then I'll start to believe it. And in the kingdom of God, the opposite is true. Believing is seeing. If we're not exercising faith toward what God has said, even though we can't see it yet, we can't touch it yet, but God has said it, if we're not exercising faith toward that, we're going to miss a whole lot of what God wants to do in our lives. Because yes, God can and does at times move sovereignly over some things, but the vast majority of things God wants to do in our life, he is going to do in partnership with us. And our faith absolutely has a part to play in that. And that's why he's so gracious to give us faith from his word and to stir up our faith. And when we come back to him, when we get doubting, we can come back to him and ask him again, Lord, I need to hear this again. I need you to stir this up in my heart, and he'll do it. He is truly our partner in all of this. But if we don't exercise faith in our life toward the things that we can't see yet, but that we know God wants to have in our life, if we don't do that, we're going to live a life just in what we can do in our own ability. And God has so much more than that for us. He just has so much more than that for us. And I just want to read these to you. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ throughout all the ages." So those verses tell us that God's desire is to do super abundantly over and above all we can ask or think, all we can imagine, all we have prayed. He wants to do even more than that. But there's a need in that place for us to be exercising faith toward what he has said. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And I know I get on this, but if you hold that theology, and again, you may have been brought up in this and taught this, and I just want to challenge it again this morning. If you hold this theology that says, if it's God's will, it'll just happen, and if it's not God's will, it won't happen, that has so many flaws. And the first one is that God gave us free will and created us to partner with him. Okay, so, and we see in the Bible is explicit to let us know that there are things happening around us all the time that are not God's will. And we tend to blame him for them when they're negative, when they're bad things. But the Bible tells us it's not his will that anyone perish, that anyone spend eternity without him. But we know people are given the right to make that choice. And he will actually defend their right to make that choice. Why is there so much evil in the world? Because he gave us a choice. Because he didn't want puppets. Because he wants us to actually, he wants people to love him. He wants to have a love relationship with people. And if you just think about it for half a second, you can't force someone to love you. He could have created us as little puppets that just love him automatically, but what good is that? You think about that in your life. You can't force people to love you, and they can't force you to love them. Love is something that has to be given. There has to be choice. There has to be choice. Or love really is a meaningless thing. And so God designed us for relationships. So if you've, you know, and a lot of people do, I know, they just, that's such a passive, I'll just stand back if it's God's will, it'll get done. If it's not God's will, it just won't happen. And I'll be good. I mean, I'll look good either way. I didn't mess this up, or I didn't not exercise faith, or I didn't ignore what God was saying. Oh no, God just didn't want it to happen. That's just not biblical. And I know it's prevalent in Christianity, but it's just a false doctrine, and we need to eradicate it from our own hearts, but we also we also need to help our brothers and sisters because it's a fruitless way to live. Are you having fun so far? All right, let's do another one, see how far we can get here. Hebrews 11:4. So here is where it says, faith moved Abel. Okay, in the Amplified Bible, it says, prompted and actuated by faith. That's what I love as you read these verses in the Amplified. But it says, faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice to offer God than his brother Cain, and God declared him righteous because of his offering of faith. By his faith, Abel still speaks instruction to us today, even though he's long dead. Boy, there's a lot in there. So I want you to see, first of all, that faith didn't force Abel to act. Faith created an opportunity and gave him the ability to make a good choice. It says faith enabled him, faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice. We know that he brought the first, I think some of the translations say he brought the very first and best to God out of his flock. He had sheep, and so that's what he brought to God. His brother brought stuff from his garden, but it didn't matter. I've heard this before. Well, it was because what Abel brought, it was an animal sacrifice, so that was the right thing to bring, and vegetables weren't. I don't think that had anything to do with it. What the scripture tells us back there in Genesis is that Abel brought the first and the best, and Cain brought some. He just took some. And so there's a big difference between those two things. So faith enabled Abel to make a good choice, then Abel made the choice. And I think that's really important. Because as important as faith is, it isn't going to make you make the right choice. It's going to rise up in your heart and it's going to prompt you. It's going to motivate you. It's going to move you. His heart was prompted with the desire to bring a great offering to God. That's what his heart was motivated by. And so he turned to his flock and he looked and he brought the first and the choicest to God. That's what was going on in his heart. And the interesting thing, you know, you're going to see this over and over and over in these verses, that God declared him righteous, right? We've talked about that a lot. That means he said, this person is in right relationship with me. That's what that means. Doesn't mean he declared him perfect. He declared him to be in right relationship in a place of favor with him because of the faith that was working in his heart. That makes sense to you, okay? So let me just say this, make everybody happy. It takes faith to give the first and choicest part to God. It takes no faith to bring leftovers, to bring just what you don't need, okay? To bring the sum like Abel did. One takes faith, one doesn't. And that's still true for us today. For those of you who accept the teaching on the tithe from the Bible, that's our bringing our first fruits to God. It takes faith. It always does, okay? But just bringing some, just bringing what I don't really need, just bringing what's left over, that doesn't take any faith, okay? And this is just one of the places that we see that, okay? That went over well. So, and then it says that because Abel exercised faith, he's been dead for thousands of years, but his act of faith still instructs us. And that's a good lesson for us, because what do you think? I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking, so what do we think Abel was thinking about when he brought, the Amplified says, the finest firstborn of his flock? You know, I believe his heart was just filled with a desire to bless God, to honor God, and so he brought the best. But, you know, do you think that he was there thinking about, well, this is a look at me moment? You know, this is a, I'm going to do this, and man, I'm going to show God how much better than my brother I am, number one. but I'm going to do this, and everybody's going to remember me. History is going to record me. Do you think he put this offering up, you know, on his Instagram and virtue signaled everyone that look at what I did. I brought this offering to God, you know, and I see, honestly, in our world, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of doing a good thing, but totally for the wrong reason. But the scripture tells us it was faith moving in his heart. And so he looked at that herd. Here's the very best. Here's the finest. He had a choice right there. He could have taken just second best. He could have taken one that wasn't quite as good. But he took the finest and choicest lamb that he had and brought it to God and offered it to him. And God so approved of that. So it changed his position before God. And I just want to say to you, your simple acts of faith, think about this. His life still instructs us. He's been dead for thousands of years. We're still reading about this act of faith. It doesn't have to be the biggest thing in the world. Those little choices that you make in secret, that you allow faith to take the wheel and move you in life, those things carry an anointing to impact other people for Jesus, even when you don't think it's that big a deal. And maybe you think it's a big deal, but you're not doing it to be seen. You're not out, you're just living by faith. God's word says this, I'm just going to obey this. It moved him to obedience, to choose a place of obedience. And we're going to see a lot more of that. And I believe he was just honoring God. And the same thing is true of you. What we do out of the flesh or we do for a wrong motivation, it doesn't carry any anointing. You know, we can do wonderful things, but do it to be seen. And in the spiritual realm, it doesn't mean a thing. But when we're moved by faith, we move in faith, that has an impact that I don't think we ever fully see. You know, it's not about being seen, but I believe there's an influence in the spirit realm that goes forth when we do things by faith. Does that make sense to you? Okay. All right, we can do one more here. I love this. Verse 7. Faith opened Noah's heart to receive revelation. That is an important phrase right there. Faith opened Noah's heart to receive revelation and warnings from God about what was coming, even things that had never been seen. Faith is what opened his heart to be able to hear God and trust God. The same thing works for us. But he stepped out in reverent obedience to God and built an ark that would save him and his family. By his faith, the world was condemned, but Noah received God's gift of righteousness that comes by believing. One of the first casualties in our life of faithlessness is the ability to hear God. And if you just bring that into any other relationship in your life, when you don't trust someone, you don't receive what they say. Or you're at least, you know, you wait and see if they're really going to do what they said, right? You distrust their faithfulness, their follow through, okay? And in some cases, you need to distrust their follow through because they never follow through. God's not like that, okay? But when we're in a place of doubt, when we allow our lives to get into that place, it gets very hard to discern the voice of God. And other things will just begin to crowd into your life to try to take your attention, to try to take your trust. So if we want, you know, if I want to hear God more clearly, I need to build faith in my life. And we can do that intentionally. We've talked about this. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we go to the word of God and we invite the Holy Spirit to take that written word and open it to us and breathe it into our hearts. So if we want more revelation from God, we want to know what God is thinking and saying, we see in the scripture he wants that for us. If we want that for us, we need to build faith in our hearts. We need to intentionally go to the word, have those still, quiet times like we were talking about earlier. If we want to live a more obedient life, it says that Noah stepped out and obeyed God because of the faith that was working in his heart. If we want to live a more obedient life, if there's something, maybe there's a sin issue we're trying to overcome. And a lot of times we'll get into this, I need to gut this out. I need to by my own will, by my own efforts, by taking hold of some program or this or that, which isn't always a bad thing, but I'm going to do this on my own, and then I can go to God. No, if there's something we're trying to overcome in our life, we need to go to God right away. We need to go to God first. We need to spend time in his word. We need to spend time with him. We need to really open up those times. We may have to cut off other influences in our life, but the point is we want to build our trust in God so that his word can begin to work in a different level in our life, okay? It says that Noah received by faith, it opened his heart to revelation of things. It doesn't just say, it says it had never been seen. Okay, that had never been seen. So he didn't have anybody else around him saying, I think it's going to rain, and I think it's going to rain hard. He had God telling him, this judgment is coming, and I need you to build an ark and build it to these specifications, all this stuff. Noah's heart was open to believe something that had never been seen. And that, for one thing, that translates to me, God is probably or very likely calling you to things that you have never seen, haven't happened in your life. It may be things that have never happened in your whole family's life. You might be the first one. You might be the first one to break out of some, you know, addiction or break out of something that's going on. You know, I've known people that their testimony was that I was raised in this spirit of offense and unforgiveness. And actually at the time she was just saying, well, this is the way my family does. We don't forgive people. And I thought, well, I said, you're in a different family. You can't, just because your family never forgave anybody doesn't mean you as a Christian are not called to forgive anybody. But that was her fallback was, well, my family just doesn't do that. Well, change. You know, you're a believer. You need to change. This is, and it didn't go over that well. But, but, you know, there are things in our lives God wants to call you up out of, things that you've never seen. You've never imagined, and many times things that have never been seen in our family. Nobody in my family has ever done that. Well, be the first one. Nobody's ever beaten addiction. Nobody's ever beaten alcoholism. Or everybody in my family gets diabetes. Everybody in my family has heart disease. Everybody in my, well, be the first one to live in the promise of God instead of the history of your family. You're in a new family. Noah received revelation, warnings from God of things that had never been seen, and he stepped out in reverent obedience. All right, and by his faith, we're just going to finish with this today. You'll be surprised to know I got about a quarter of the way I thought I would today. By his faith, it says, the world was condemned. That's kind of an interesting statement. Jesus talked about the fact that at the judgment, there would be people who would be condemned by the faith of others. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and saw what God had done there and accepted it as an act of God. And he said, other generations are going to be condemned. She's not going to stand up and condemn them. But her act of faith stands as a testimony that this is what was possible, but this is where you lived. Okay? Says that about the Ninevites. They repented when Jonah came. Okay? And others didn't repent when Jesus came. And he said, that generation is going to condemn this generation. It's not saying here that Noah went out, here again, Noah went out on Instagram and started condemning the world. Noah went out with signs and started condemning the world's immorality and all and unbelief and all of that. It doesn't say that. It just says his living by faith, again, his simple act of living by faith in his life is a testimony that this is what's possible. This is what faith looks like. So if others are living in unbelief. Again, it's not going to be us. It wasn't Noah. It's not going to be us condemning people. And it shouldn't even be in our hearts to condemn people. Our point is to live by faith. What the Lord does with that, he can use your acts of faith as an example to lift others out. But also, here we see this here, Noah's act of faith, it condemned the world. The world's there thumbing its nose at what he did. And that didn't go too well for them either, okay? So if the world is thumbing their nose at what you're doing, don't worry about it. Ignore it. It's not for you to get into. It's not for you to address. Just live by faith. Let faith motivate you to do things for God and let the Lord do with that whatever he will. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Why don't you go ahead and stand up this morning? Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Okay. I believe you. All right, thank you, Lord. Father, your word is always full of richness for us. And so my prayer this morning, Lord, is that we think about these things together and we look at these examples of people you held up as examples. You put them in the scripture, Holy Spirit, as examples for us of how faith works. Lord, I pray that you would specifically, you do this all the time, specifically adapt those truths to our lives. Lord, and show us how that we can follow Jesus, but we can also look at the way that these people lived, and Lord, that can become a pattern for how to walk by faith in you. And so, Lord, I just give that to you this morning. I pray, Father, that as we all go out, Lord, into our individual lives in this community, we go out as the body of Christ. We go out as the church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that in every expression of faith that comes up this week, in every opportunity we have, that Jesus would be exalted and that light would break darkness and that the people around us, the opportunities you give each of us, Lord, we would be an influence for the Lord Jesus in this life, because that's who they need. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have people up here, including me, to pray for you after church. If you have sickness in your body, if you need to give your life to Jesus, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have issues that you want prayed over, I just encourage you to please come up and let us pray for you. Other than that, there's a bunch of good snacks out there, so we encourage you to hang around, get to know some people, make some relationships, and then go out there and be the church, okay? Let's say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Let's declare it. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.